Okay, so I apologize for starting a little bit later than usual, but I want to speak about a topic which I think is really important. If we're speaking about Baliat Tosfos as sort of people who speak about it at times Machshava topics, so what's called Machshava, what's not, is not always so clear, and the merging sometimes of ideas and yesodos that come out of halachic discussion is certainly apparent also. But I want to speak about the Baliat Tosfos and developing a particular kind of connection to Torah. Here I mean not in the narrow halachic sense, what are the obligations of a chiyuv of Talmud Torah, but what exactly a person's relationship to Talmud Torah should be. I'll introduce the talk a little bit. Many of us may know, or Frank Waxman, I think someone was singing it before, Moshe, I think was singing it before, that many, many years ago, so as always before Shavuos, he writes a particular song. So many years ago, he wrote a song, Ahava Rabba, describing the incredible love that people have for Talmud Torah, and he told over he said over a maysa about Tosfos and Baba Kama on Daf Ayin Zayin. Daf Ayin Zayin isn't just helpful because it rhymed with whatever he was talking about, but where Tosfos and Daf Ayin Zayin came out, the entire page is just Baliat Tosfos. And Frank Waxman told over a maysa. The maysa is that Tosfos was written. It was a time of religious persecution. It was a time when Klal Yisrael was persecuted. The Baliat Tosfos were, quote, chained and bound, and they spent their last night on this earth writing those Tosfos in with their blood. That they were so dedicated to Talmud Torah that when they had one night left to go, they wanted to dedicate that night to Talmud Torah, and those particular Tosfos in were written with the blood of the Baliat Tosfos. I asked Rabbi Leibowitz yesterday whether we have historical backing. Did that story exactly happen? He gets that question all the time from people because it's an awesome story and it's a great song, and he seems to be like a person that knows about these things. So he said he's not aware of anything one way or the other. Frank Mike was not the first one to invent that story. It's a Maisa which is around there. But he did say that while he's not familiar with one way or the other on that, it is certainly figuratively true. It is definitely true that Baliat Tosfos, a lot of the Tosfos that we read, it's an amazing thing to think about where they were and what was happening. These were people that were in the middle of very intense persecution. There are crusades for some of the Baliat Tosfos, not for others. There's a lot going on. And in the midst of all of that craziness, in the midst of all of those threats to their lives, the Baliat Tosfos were able to sort of overcome that and write these to revolutionize in many ways the way people study Torah, the way people learn Torah. That of itself is a source of amazing chizuk. The fact that you could learn Tosfos and pick up so little on even about them and their lives, unless you're really trained to do so, is because when they're writing, they're really writing ki'ilu, they're in a little bit of a different world. The Maharal writes about how the number 8 is often associated with Talmud Torah in different kinds of places, because the world is a world of 7 days of the week, 7 cycles in 7 years in the Shemitah cycle. The regular Teva is the number of 7, and the act of Talmud Torah sometimes involves stepping above Teva, stepping above. That's why the old Beis Medrash, Dafka, had 8 walls in the old Beis Medrash, because Talmud Torah is associated with 8, and 8 is considered to be above nature. And the Baliat Tosfos, in many ways, were able to do that. We're speaking a little bit less about what the Baliat Tosfos did with their lives, but it certainly fits very, very well with a bunch of things that you find written in the writings of the Baliat Tosfos. What we're going to do is I want to sort of develop a particular perspective in Baliat Tosfos to then point out one Tosfos and the way that a minimum of Salvechik, Rav Hutner and Pacha Yitzchak, and perhaps Rav Moshe and Igros Moshe all explain that particular Tosfos, which goes a lot to the question as to what is a person's relationship to Talmud Torah supposed to be. What's it supposed to be? In particular, what's a person's relationship to Torah supposed to be when they're not learning? Meaning, we get that when we're learning, we're supposed to be focused on Talmud Torah, but what is that shaykhus? What does it look like when I'm not learning? What is my connection to Torah supposed to look like when I'm not sitting in front of a sefer? So let me begin like this. There is a Mishnah in Krisus. The topic of the Mishnah in Krisus is not our sugya right now, and that's going to be okay for many of us on a very tired Friday morning. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, "Sha'alti es Rabban Gamliel. I once asked Rabban Gamliel, the es Rabbi Yoshua, be'italius shel imoim, shahochu likach behema, lemishteh bino shel Rabban Gamliel." So he has a question, Rabbi Akiva has. It's about a person who has bia, with their sister, with their father's sister, and their mother's sister, how many chiyuvim they're considered to be chayev. So says the Baal HaTosfos, says the Mishnah, that when did Rabbi Akiva go through and ask this question? When they were holchu likach behema lemishta bino shomeg Gamliel. They're on their way to get an animal for the child of Rabbi Gamliel's simcha. Points out Tosfos an intriguing question. Says Tosfos, why the historical background about where he asked the question? Who cares where he asked the question? Let him ask the question wherever he wants. Why are you telling us that he asked the question when he was walking to go somewhere? So Tosfos in Krisis writes, Lohodia Shvach, and again, this is interesting Tosfos, because Tosfos doesn't have a lot of these like Derech Agav, almost like Musari kinds of things. But Lohodia Shvacham, to tell us to praise Rabbi Akiva, Sha'afal Pishahayu Trudim, even though they were busy engaging in activities for other people, they were traveling, they had what to do, still Hayu Oskin B'divrei Torah. They were still being Osek, they were still learning Divrei Torah. Articulating and describing a level where a person, even when they're going to do a mundane activity, is still going to be osek in the world of Torah. It's still going to be osek in the world of learning. Tosfos in Sota on Daf Chaf Aleph has the same kind of a yesod, where Tosfos says the following line. V'yesh Lomar says Tosfos, Stam Talmud Chacham, Stam the regular Talmud Chacham, Toraso Umnaso, he's consumed with Torah. That's his passion. That's what he toils in. The osik ba umeharher ba. He learns Torah and thinks about it. Kol sha'a. The in holich dal amos below Torah. Tosfos invokes that to explain a Gemara in Sota, talking about the protection that Torah can provide someone. And Tosfos says, stam tamim is osik umeharher ba tamim. There's a Rashi in Shabbos like that also. But you find Bali at Tosfos that emphasize this idea of being constantly consumed with the world of Torah. So far, we're speaking about it in the context of praising Rabbi Akiva, in the context of real Talmidei Chachamim, that they were so consumed with Torah. But if you look in the Yoreim is one of the Baalei HaTosfos who counted mitzvos. He counted mitzvos, Sefer is over there, red Sefer, right next to Michel Schinoff's. So the Yoreim says as follows, V'samtem es divar eila, Tziva Habore, the Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded us, Shiasimu Yisrael Divrei Torah Alibam. What does it mean, V'samti Es Divar Eila Alivavchem? What does it mean that a person is supposed to have Torah on their heart? What does that mean? This is part of a mitzvah. We're expanding this to lots of people. So says the Yireyim, this is our Torah, Perish. Sima Sheyizkor Divrei Torah, a person should remember Torah. V'yasimam Alibo Tamit. It should always be on my heart. V'yehege bahem bilvavo, and I should be toiling with them in my heart again. V'chol shah v'sha'a, shechoshev adam b'divrei Torah, v'choshev b'livo, mekayev mitzvah v'shinam, v'samtem. There's a certain mitzvah, every moment when a person's thinking about and engaged in Torah, they're mekayim a particular mitzvah. Okay. If there are a variety of comments of Tovah that speak about a person doing the Torah, so perhaps the most famous is a Tosfos in Brachos. And this Tosfos in Brachos is amazing because he seems to say something which is factually not correct. It seems to use it not just as like, people say incorrect things in Musar Shmuzin all the time. You know, like you're trying to like pump up the crowd so your words aren't always as precise. A guy gets to speak, you know, before Pesach. It's like, this is Pesach's most important yantif. Or, you know, people speak, it's the opening to the whole year is Pesach. And if it were Purim, he'd be saying that about Purim. If it was Chanukah, I'll say about Chanukah. Chanukah is the yantif where we really show our commitment to Torah Shabbat Peh. Okay, so is, you know, Simchas Torah, and so is Purim, and so is I'm sure Shavuos, and so are like, you know, I'm sure Yom HaTzibut, but in certain seaboard, like, everything is like if you're a holiday, like Yakislev is all about the Torah Shabbat Peh. At some point, like, you overstate things a little bit. You know, you're not as measured the same way when you're talking about it. Like, you get caught up in that moment a little bit. When you take a statement that sounds like overly like frummy, quote unquote, or overstating it, but you use it to justify a halacha which is on the books, so that's not called overstating it. That's called like halacha lemaisa, I hold by what I'm saying right now. Halacha lemaisa, this has a certain key. So Tosfos is bothered by a kasha in Maseches Brachos on Daf Yud Aleph. We're going to learn it a little bit less the way we would learn it in a morning shiur from like a lumdus perspective. We're going to learn it more in terms of what it tells about our relationship to Torah. Tobit's kasha, the famous kasha, the resolutions to the kasha are, or what he means, are fascinating. Tobit is like this. I don't understand. How come, it's a very basic question, how come when a person, every time you go into the sukkah, on sukkahs, should you make a new bracha of leishev basukkah? I go when I had breakfast and make a bracha of leishev, I go out in the tiyul, I come back in the afternoon, I take more food, I make a new bracha of leishev basukkah, says Tosfos, why am I making a bracha of leishev all the time? Okay. In contrast to Birchas HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah, we make one Birchas HaTorah. We make a Birchas HaTorah in the morning. That Birchas HaTorah, which we make in the morning, is good for the whole day. It's good for the whole day. Parentheses. What about the Birchas HaTorah you make before you get an Aliyah? Before you get an Aliyah. So that's a Shaila, and we've shown him, like, what's going on with that new Birchas HaTorah when you get an Aliyah? Didn't we already say Birchas HaTorah in the morning? That's for that's a bit of a machlokes what the bracha is. But that Torah, how come my own Birchas HaTorah? I made one in the morning, and that's it. And that's it. So Tova's line is wild. Tova says, V'yesh lomar, I think the answer is, Dishaini Torah. You know why you make halacha lemaisa one bracha in the morning? This is not a statement given over to big talmid hachamim, to torasa umnaso mahar bakol sha'a, to lahagit shvachos Rabbi Akiva. That even this is everyone. The shiny Torah she'enu miyayish daito. A person when it comes to Torah, does not ever despair. He never gives up. He's never not thinking about Torah. D'chol Shah, why am I always thinking about Torah? D'chol Shah, Adam Mechuyav Lilmod. Since we're commanded to learn all the time, D'chsev V'gisibo Yamum V'layla. So since I'm commanded to learn all day, I must be thinking about Torah all day. V'avikimo Yoshev Kol Hayom, below Hefzik. And it's as if I'm learning the entire day. So says Torah, why one brach on Talmud Torah, but many on Sukkah? Because in Sukkah you have breaks in your day between time you're in the Sukkah. But no one has breaks when it comes to their Talmud Torah experience. When you're learning Torah, you're just going straight. You're going straight, thinking about it all the time. It's a beautiful Tosfos. It probably describes the kind of people who, Baba Kama, Daf, Ayin, Zayin, the night before, are writing Baliyat Tosfos in blood. It describes Torah, Sum, Nasum, Hayar, Bakol, Sha'a. But this is not talking about that kind of person. This is talking about the average person. Klal Yisrael, we have a chiyuv, maybe Doraisa, maybe Dorabanan, to make a Birchas HaTorah every single day. And Tova says that we're Mahayar Bakol Shah because there's a chiyuv to learn all day. First of all, it's an amazing assumption. It's almost like a naive assumption. Well, if the Torah says it's a chiyuv, of course everyone's doing it all the time. Like if the Torah says you're supposed to be learning Torah all day, so yeah. So people are thinking about it, all day. But the primary question that many of the Rishonim ask is like, it ain't true. It's not true. Now, Rabbi Yonah has the kasha, which is, I understand, tefillin d'chiv all day. We still make a new bracha on tefillin every time we put it on. Okay, that's one kind of a question. We'll talk about that. But people don't think about Torah all day. So it seems like in this Tosfos, and if you want it to be like a little bit like really as somebody ask it, Tovos and Krisos and Tovos and Sota make the assumption that only big people, only big Talmidei Chachamim, Torah Shem Naso, think about Torah all day. And now he's assuming that everybody thinks about Torah. So what does that mean? So we'll develop, I hope, between 2 and 3 ideas to elaborate and explain this Tosfos. And I think both are intriguing and both are important. And honestly, both are very famous. Salvechik, this is a very, very famous idea, but it's a good idea. It's a good idea to know. It's a weird thing because you never know. It's like before Hanukkah time. Like you never know what people know and what people don't know. So you sort of want to cover certain things that are very, very well known and very important. You also don't want to repeat things people have heard 100 times. So it's like trying to strike that particular balance. I don't know if this Zaldetic piece and if the Refutner piece is very, very well known or not. We'll definitely try to add a little bit to go somewhere with it. But if it is, I certainly apologize for that. Although the Chazara is certainly worthwhile. So if Zaldetic said over a pshat, the time that he first, or the time that he most famously said over this pshat, was he was giving Shir Meseches Chulin. And they had finished the first parak of Meseches Chulin. Okay? The Rav used to move pretty quickly as far as Dapim that he would cover when he would learn Gemara, when a Shepherd comes to speak with Derech Halima, he will note that the Rav, he would move very quickly. But for some reason, when they finished the first parak of Chulin, I guess it's always like that guy in Shir who's like not always, you know, who like can like, you know, he like said to him, new Rebbe, can you say something b'chava d'siyam of finishing the first parak of Chulin? It's like the version of when you're like in high school and you finish a daf and like we have a barbecue or something, like with your, you know, like that kind of like a thing. Not a daf, whatever you finish, Masechta, all 124 high schools, it's all good. I did not mean it in that kind of a way. So they got, if we finish the parak, can you like, you know, can you say something? So the Rav spoke about the relationship that persons have to Torah. And he quoted this comment of Tosfos. And the Rav developed an idea. And the Rishim Shirim and Brachos, they have it in an elaborated sense. As far as, you know, when that idea was developed a little bit more. But it's an amazing, amazingly intriguing mahalach. The Rav suggested as follows. There are two elements to a person's connection to Torah. And there are two kinds of levels of awareness a person can have regarding Torah. There is, and many of us, I'm sure, are aware of this, we live, which is when you are learning, you are thinking about Torah. If I'm in a shir, hearing about Tosfos, so I'm engaged directly, I'm engaged actively in a maisa mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I may lose focus a little bit here or there, I may lose this. Okay, fine, sure, it happens. But I'm definitely aware of the fact that I'm learning and I'm focused on that. The Rav suggested there is another kind of awareness, what he called very famously, latent awareness. There's active awareness and latent awareness. What is latent awareness? So the Rav gave the following mashal. Imagine, as an example, you have a mother. So when a mother is playing with her child, so a mother that plays with her child is actively thinking in that moment about the child. But with the mother-child relationship, even when the child's not there, and even when the mother's, she's doing her, whatever her job happens to be, whatever she's doing professionally, whatever she's doing personally, in the back of her mind, there's always a degree of awareness of what's going on with my kid. It's always there in a certain sense. It's always in the back of your mind, but there's always a certain level of awareness of, you know, where am I? You know, it's like if you would, I think I'm a fine father, I think, but I'm not sure I have latent awareness the same way that my wife does. You know, if you ask me a question where my kids are, like, I need to, like, okay, let's start from the beginning. You know, it's like God created the world. Other than this, there are kids. Where are my kids right now? Okay, fine, this, that. You know, it's like a little bit holding up. For her, it's like a mechudadim beficha. Not just, I think that probably intellectually she's better at that, but there's something about a certain kind of awareness where the mother's always aware of what's going on, even if lemaisa the kid's not in front. There's a certain it's in the background always. It's like the background music of the mother's day. You know, it's like I'm not thinking. It's always sort of there on some level. Says the Soloveitchik, I think, and we'll elaborate and develop this idea. I think that's what Tosfos means here. What Tosfos means is that a person's connection to Torah. So there are people who are actively engaged in Torah all the time. The way we would say it out, there's the Rabbi Akiva and the Mishnah and Krisas. There are people that whenever they're working and whatever they're doing, they're actively being Meharher B'divrei Torah. They're actively thinking about Torah. They're being Mekayim, the Mitzvah, and the Yoreim, that they're always thinking about it. It's in their heart all the time. But there are certainly people who are not, said Salvechek, that's not the charge for everyone. Because a lot of us work. And a lot of us do other things. And the Gemara speaks about how it's okay, and those things are important, and those things are beseder, and a person's allowed to do those things. And we eat meals, and we talk with friends. There's a lot of things that we do. But, as it says of Soloveitchik, the charge is, and what Tosfos means is, a person is never fully away from Torah. It's always, the way we would say, maybe the background music to our day. There's a certain latent awareness that frum Jews are supposed to always have. On one level, that could be, like in a Rav Halachic Man sense, like, are there any Isurim I'm violating, any Chiyuvim I can do, any mitzvahs I can do? I'm going through my day, I'm always channeling things, in a certain sense, through the lens of Torah. I'm always aware that it's there. That V'yigisa bo yomam v'layla doesn't mean I have a Chiyuv to be Osek in Talmud Torah all day long. It can't mean that. Again, the pshat may be just in the morning and at night, but the way chazal, it means all morning and all night. It doesn't mean because I go to Lila, what's pshat? I have to be thinking about it all day long, morning and night, plus those quotes. No. Yisrael Yom Lila means that when you are, even when you're not formally sitting there, it's in the back of your minds. There's a certain latent awareness of what is going on. Salvechik explained as a mushal to that, or as a related point, he said, why is it at a siyum? At a siyum, we say hadron alach, that we're gonna come back. It is true there are no more beautiful words in the, I forget, I'm not holding it up. What's the Nathan Tzvi quote? It's a beautiful, there are no more beautiful words in the English language. I forget, that no more beautiful words that a yid can say. Hadron alach tamna bavli, is that how it goes? Something like that. Hadron alach is a very, very powerful statement that whenever a person makes a siyum, that they're planning on, that they want to come back to it. What's pshat in hadron alach? What are you saying in hadron alach? You know, a guy finishes something sometimes, like, is there really the full intent that I'm going to, like, come back and do it again? You know, so when a mother leaves the house, so a mother says to the kids, like, I'll be back. I'll be back in a little bit. The mother wasn't saying, I'll be back. They would never, if the mother wasn't confident they're going to come back, they'd never be comfortable leaving the home in the first place. That you feel so connected and the connection is so real, you say to the kid, like, I'll be back in a little bit. And the kid knows, like, I'm going to be back. And the relationship is one where even when I'm away, you know I'm coming back. And you know that there's a certain kind of connection which is present. And that same connection, says Salvechik, is true when a Jew says that I see him. Hadron alach maseches makos, as an example, if you are zocha to do so. Hadron alach maseches makos, or hadron alach tamid bavli, let's go for the zocha, why not? And Yerushalmi and Kol Torah Kula on every year of Pesach. But when a person says hadron alach, so part of what you are communicating, when you say hadron alach, part of what you are communicating is, I'll be back. I can't say right now I'm learning it right now, I can't say I'm whatever, but my connection with you is the kind of connection that even when I'm out, it's still in my mind. Like, it's on my list of things to do. It's on my list. Like, I'll get back to that. There's an awareness which is present. There's an awareness that we are cognizant of that is very, very real. That the shiny Torah she'enu mesiach daito, Tovas means, as a Salvechik, I'm never fully away from the world of Torah. I'm always aware of it on one level. Kibalibo umachshavaso margish kol hayom. I feel throughout my day that Torah plays a dominant kind of a role. Avlochansi once explained the pshat in one sheet and Tovas Yishanim like this. Tovas Yishanim in Yuma has a machlokas. It's a weird machlokas. What's Iker? Torah or Derech Eretz? Is Iker working or is the Iker learning? So ask many of the Achronim, what's pshat in Manda Amar that the Iker would be working? So the Baliyat Tosfos, this is Dafayin Zayin Chaver. Like what would be the, what's not Dafayin Zayin I'm saying, but that would be like, you know? So Lichtenstein once suggested that what Tosfos is arguing about there is more of a quantitative machlokas. How many hours a day, it could be that the majority of a person's day, they're going to be working or engaging in other forms of activities rather than learning. It's possible that's for sure going to end up happening. On a qualitative level, the home base or the headquarters, the same way that you have people who work crazy hours. They work crazy hours, but their home base is home. That's their ikker place. That's their ikker makom kavua. That's their primary location. Even if I'm working out 12 hours a day, I'm in a certain place, my ikker mahus is home. The core things to me exist at home. That's the core place. Torah, for the Baliyat Tosfos, whether it is or is not the main thing I'm doing quantitatively every day, that's the home life that is my center. That's what I'm cognizant of. Maybe not in the forefront of my mind, but again, the latent awareness, or maybe the background music of your day. It infuses the way that you do things, and I'm cognizant of it at different stages. So suggests Rav Salvechik. Rav Huttner has a very different idea. It's a very intriguing one. Years ago, we spoke about broad life and double life in Rav Huttner and the Rav. I don't believe, I'm going to be mocking it with a heretical question of this institution, and you will forgive me in the following way. I'm always intrigued by the following. We hear a lot, depending on where you spend your day. We hear a lot about Rav Huttner with a letter about the importance of a broad life of Torah. Derech Agav, it was written to a doctor. That doctor gave money to Shalvim. The homes that are right behind the dorms, where Ben Yaakov lives, etc., that's called Shchunat Valk. That was the doctor, Valk, who donated money I think to Shalavim for those things. There's a connection to that letter in a very real way. But I'm going to frame it in the following way. What does broad life mean? By that I mean, what did Rav Huttner do? Did Rav Huttner give us a cute way to say, Bechol Drachecha Da'ehu, it's good to be religious in all the things that you do? Was it a cute formulation by saying broad life and not double life? Was it a cute sort of trick? Or was Rav Huttner communicating a chiddush about a relationship to Torah? Like, which is it? To say it differently, are there people that are cholek on broad life? Are there people that think that broad life is wrong? I believe the answer to that question on both levels is, step one, he was saying a chiddush. Step two, not all people believe it. It was a chiddush. It was years ago what it means. Rav Huttner broad life was not only written in a letter. It is only a letter of Rav Huttner. If you go through Rav Huttner in Pachad Yitzchak, so there are references to it in Yesodos, Ledati, in the Sefer Zikaron of Pachad Yitzchak. There are Yesodos also in Pachad Yitzchak on the Moedim. Pachad Yitzchak Moedim Shvuis Yud Gimel is a broad life Torah. I want to explain to you what I think broad life means and why it's a chiddush. And Rav Huttner's broad life, in many ways, it comes from this Tosfos. This Tosfos is it. For Rav Huttner, it's one of the primary places where he really develops the mikoros behind the particular idea. I'll point out, I think it's Pashtun of Salvation believed in a double life. We'll find out what that means at a different time. He's certainly not believing in Futner's broad life. I think that's more or less Pashtun. And I think they also even disagree about Pshat and his Tosfos, I think, in many ways, because of that. But he doesn't mean double life, like you should live like you're religious sometimes, now there's other times, but we'll explain what we mean. Rav Huttner develops a Yesod. Let me begin by describing it. There are different ways that a person can relate to the different parts of their lives. I am, let's say, as an example, people speak a lot about work-life balance. What do I do in the work, and how do I balance that with my family life? I want to learn, I have my religious life. There's a lot of tension that exists in life between different things that a person wants to do. I want to do this professionally, I want to do this religiously, I want to do this in the family level. And there's tension which may exist. I learn in the morning and I work in the afternoon, I do this and I do that. There are different ways that a person can relate to things. Sometimes there is a tension that can exist. Someone told me recently, they work in a particular firm, they said they feel like they live a double life. Because they spend their whole day, not everyone means double life like in the way where it was critiquing, but they feel like they spend their whole day working with certain people, but they have this like secret, deep religious life that is such a major part of all that they do, but like the people they work with like don't fully get that. They know that they keep like the Sabbath, they know that they don't go to certain bars after work, but there isn't the same clarity that they are like, it's a really something else. For Rav Huttner, that tension which people feel, said, Rav Huttner, you really shouldn't be feeling. Then the end of the day, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that the Yichud of Hashem is that in the end of the day, as long as you know, in this moment I'm doing Retzon Hashem, and in this moment I'm doing Retzon Hashem, that there's really no stira or tension that I would be experiencing or feeling throughout my day. It's all integrated. It's all Avodas Hashem. So whether I'm working or I'm eating or I'm learning or I'm davening, it's all centered around Avodas Hashem. I don't experience a tension between them. It's all surrounding Ribbono Shel Olam. It's all integrated in a certain sense. There's no hefsek, says Rav Huttner, between my job and my learning and my davening and my social, it's all one. Now, the reason why you may challenge that is if you believe that it's not supposed to be integrated. Different parts of my personality that live in a certain degree of tension, and maybe that's a good and a holy thing, that's for a different kind of time. Says Rav Huttner, Talmud Torah is a very unique thing. Talmud Torah is unique, says Rav Huttner, for the following reason. When a person learns, they're certainly being mekayim Torah. But says Rav Huttner, there are things a person does which are not actively learning, but have the same status or the same power of Torah. as an example, the Gemara in Sota on Chaf Aleph, that same Gemara speaks about how women sometimes can have the zchus of Torah, and the Gemara wonders it's not time for women's learning. How do they have the zchus of Torah? They're not mechuyav in learning even. What's going on? So the zchus of Torah that they have is by facilitating Torah of other people. They get the zchus of Torah because they facilitate their husbands and their children's learning. Okay, so that's what says in the Gemara. Says Rav Hutner, if I facilitate kibud av v'eim, do I have the power of kibud av v'eim? Do I get a richas yamim? For sure not. It's a chesed. I facilitated you to be able to fulfill a mitzvah. Only in regard to Talmud Torah does facilitating a person's Talmud Torah count as Torah itself. Because the goal of Torah is supposed to, it's so expansive. And Torah's lilmon amanas lasos is to live a life of Torah. That Torah is not only that which I learn, but things I'm doing centered around, things I'm doing geared towards, things I'm doing impacted by, infused by, are all a kiyum of Torah also. They are, in a certain sense, they're part of my broad life. That all the things, so when I go and I'm a kaim of mitzvah, I stop learning for a minute. Osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, but not by Talmud Torah. Why is there no din of osek b'mitzvah by Talmud Torah? Why is osek b'mitzvah? Because even when I stop learning to do a mitzvah, it's not really called breaking away from Torah. It's not really called breaking away from Torah. Because in my broad life of Torah, even that is called something. If I stop learning to go, so notoschar ki'ilu osek batorah. Yalfinan mizeh, says Rav Hutner, we learn from here. The kocho shel Talmud Torah, the power of Torah, is mispashet hu al kol ha'inyanim ha'ma'afshirim oso v'ha'mesayim b'yod lamod al tzivyon ha'chad. Anything you do that helps, that supports, that plays a role in your learning, anything you do which contributes, it's all called Torah. It's all called Torah. So if I'm working, that's a bechina of Torah. It's not called a break if I'm working with the right orientation of it being a broad life. It's not called a hefsek, derech agav. That's why it's a wild chiddush of a footner called broad life. Broad life, he meant an enormous chiddush. That when I am working, as long as I'm doing it, because I'm geared to, it helps me facilitate, helps me grow in Torah. So that's called Torah. That sounds like, I'll say it this way, that sounds like an extreme non-orthodox kind of an opinion. You know, that's like, even when you're not learning, like it's still called Torah if you're working. As long as you're doing it, l'shem shamayim. It's called Torah. You get the power of Torah. Futner is saying that. It's an expansive kind of an idea. So says Rav Futner, what's pshat in Tosfos? What does it mean? What does it mean, says Rav Futner, that a person is learning Torah and they take breaks during the day, but you're not miyayish daito the whole day? What that means, says Rav Futner, of course you're working. And when you're working, says Rav Futner, you're not actively thinking about the Torah the whole day. I'm not actively thinking about it. But by Talmud Torah, other actions I do that are integrated with the learning experience, they help support the learning experience. They play a role in contributing to it. I'm thinking about it's Hashem Echad in the middle. All the things that I do, so they're not really a break from Torah if I do it with the right orientation. V'yigisibo yomam v'layla doesn't mean you're actively engaged in learning all the time, but it means all the things you're doing can have a chalos of Torah if I'm integrated enough, if I have a broad enough perspective to see how these things can integrate, these things become part of it. These things are geared towards, they enhance my learning, they bring out my learning, they enhance my Avodas Hashem, they're because of Hashem. So I don't feel a gap between my learning and my working because they're all focused on Hashem Echad in the middle. They're all focused on Torah being most critical. They're all focused on the role of that. And the more that I'm conscious, the more they build it. In that sense, the Rav had two dinim of learning, active awareness and latent awareness. Rav Hutner is speaking about there's an active awareness, but whenever you're engaged in other kinds of activities with the right perspective, it's part of my broad life of Torah. And a broad life of Torah means that whatever you're doing has a chalos of Torah. And therefore, it's not a hefsek. Mayotze, my chiv of Talmud Torah by working? No, my chiv of Talmud Torah I have to actively learn. But it's not called a hefsek from Torah. It is a shaychus of Torah, the protection of Torah if you facilitate it. Same way that a woman who just facilitates Torah gets the schar of Torah because it has a status of Torah. So whatever we do, we have that kind of status in that kind of a way. So the Balei HaTosfos we'll just review, I guess. The Balei HaTosfos speak about, in very beautiful ways, a Jew's relationship to Torah. Ideally, Torah describes Tam Tam Chacham, a person like Rabbi Akiva. So even when a person works, even when a person goes places, so they can take Torah and talk about Torah topics. They can talk about questions that they have when they have those kinds of opportunities. If I go out for ice cream with a big Talmud Chacham, I can have things that I'm thinking about, that I could talk about on the way surrounding Torah, take advantage of that particular schus, of that particular ability. But even those that are not on that madrega, the Tosfos writes that we still are thinking about, we're still connected to Torah the whole day. How are we connected to Torah the entire day? This is Tosfos' shita. Somebody should not think that you would make multiple Birchas HaTorahs a day. But says Tosfos, you know how it would work? I'm thinking about Torah all the time. For the Rav, it's always in fact, it's never not in my mind. I'm always a step away from being there. I'll be back. It's always there. It's my base. It's where I'm at. In a latent sense, I'm thinking about, is it us or is it mutter? I'm never fully removed from my worldview and my perspective and who I am and what's happening. It's always there, even if it's in the background. For Rav Huttner, Tosfos is conveying to us that the attitude a person has to Torah is that Torah, when I learn, is one thing, but I can cultivate a broad life of Torah. I can cultivate a broad life of Torah, which means that even the other things that I'm doing, if they're centered and geared towards facilitating Torah, Avodas Hashem and Kiyum HaMitzvot, they can have a status of Torah also. So, again, I guess in our exploring the Balei HaTosfos, so this is part of it on Torah. We spoke about this week, but Ezra Shem next week, I hope, we'll speak about why learn Torah. What motivates a person to learn Torah. That we'll speak about a little bit next week, and we'll go through some different perspectives. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Who is, I think I just want to make sure I'm good for Shabbos meals, that we did a good job.